I just wanted to make note before this podcast gets started that Jay Lee's headphones were a little scratchy the first few minutes. He corrects it, changes his headphones, and through the rest of the podcast, it is clear. All right, guys. Thanks for joining the Hippocrats podcast. I am here with Jay Lee, also known as Culture Conundrum on TikTok.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is going on? Thanks for inviting me on this, man.
Absolutely, man. There's so many times where I see either comments that you make or videos that you make, and I just get giddy. And I'm like, this guy is awesome. You hit things that I don't even realize. And I'm just like, damn, like, where were you 10 minutes ago before I made this freaking video? I could have used that.
I don't know. A lot of the stuff that I do is like kind of off the cuff. So,
well, it's great. Like, I need to discuss things with you before I make videos.
Yeah, no, totally. Go for it. I'm down.
So how long have you been on TikTok now?
Honestly, I think it's running on a good 6 months between all my accounts.
Oh, okay. Have you been political the whole time?
Yeah. From when I started TikTok, it's always been kind of sort of this socio-political, sociocultural bent.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many accounts have you had now? This is your fourth, right?
I technically have two, but I'm on my fourth, if that makes sense. So yeah, it's a weird story, and TikTok really doesn't like dissenting opinions when it comes to the whole liberal leftist mindset and liberal leftist philosophy. So the fact that I'm just an uppity Asian is problematic for them.
Yeah, it's bad when people like me talk about Asian stuff. When you talk about Asian stuff, it's like, what can they do? You know, they're the ones that like to follow the identity politics. Like, you kind of screw them.
I do, and that's what makes it so hilarious.
Yeah, I kind of wish I could like Shang Tsung this shit and just like change my race when I want to talk about certain races. You know,
I mean, you know, transracialism is a thing apparently.
Yeah, you're white now. Yeah,
I mean, with it. Go white adjacent. Exactly. So I try to milk that, and it just gets fun because then people are just like, "Well, you're trying to be white," and then I come back with a comment of, "Well, too late for you, sucker. I'm already white adjacent. So what's up now?"
I think I'm having an issue with your headphones. I think they're scratchy. Like when you talk, it's going.
That must be me overloading my headphones. Hang on a second. Let me see if I can find another. But yeah, keep going with the questions, man. What do you want to know? What's on your mind? What's the?
So have you always viewed your political views the way you do now, or have you changed over time?
Honestly, I think they've more solidified over the course of the last few years, I would say.
Okay, what has changed?
I don't think anything's changed more so than they've had.
Just more confident in their beliefs.
Yeah, I would say more confident.
That's way better. Whatever you did for your headphones, I like that.
Oh, perfect. Okay. So yeah, I think they've been more. I think I've always. So I guess my story is I'm kind of sort of what you would call a. For lack of a better word, I'm an evangelical Protestant Christian. Okay. So a lot of my bent is based off the biblical Christian worldview, right? But when it comes to some of those concepts, though, a lot of it has a lot of like these conservative values that I filter through that biblical worldview. So when it comes to pro-life, it's yeah. You know, there's a theological presupposition behind that. When it comes to the issue of individual liberty, property rights, there's a lot of, you know, deep biblical concepts and precepts that are founded within that I just find myself aligning up with, you know, from a political standpoint. But a lot of my politics is filtered through the lens of my faith system. So,
okay. I never even knew you were religious. In your videos, like I wouldn't even be able to tell.
Well, you wouldn't because it's just one of those things where, because if I say something, you know, inflammatory, people say, "Oh, look at Christians; they say this stuff."
Yeah, and it's just they'll like, discount you. Yeah, right away. Yeah.
Right, and it's just like they don't understand the actual tenet of the faith system, nor do they recognize some of the intrinsic principles that America was founded on, and they want to relegate it to, you know, more racial than it is, you know, philosophical.
And I find that interesting because my political beliefs, I separate church and state, but yet you and me seem to have very similar beliefs in a lot of things like abortion and so on.
Yeah.
So You know, the fact that you still run on your religious beliefs and the way that you do it, and we still come out the same, is that's actually pretty interesting.
Well, considering the fact that, you know, I wouldn't call myself religious, more faithful to the faith system that I adhere to.
Okay, that makes sense.
So like, I mean, do I pray? Yes. Do I read my Bible? Yes. Do I attend church? Yes. But all of those things are, from my vantage point, basic tenets of the expression of what I believe to be true. But when it comes to, mm-hmm. you know, conservative values, a lot of it is that filter through that biblical worldview. So like when it comes to pro-life, yeah, there is that theological presupposition there that I align myself up with to come up with that pro-life position, you know?
Now you were arguing, was it Victoria that you were arguing with when it came to pro-life? No, you were talking about Asian Lives Matter.
That's what yes. Oh, okay. God, yes. Yeah.
That's another topic we should talk about. But
we can definitely hit on that. But yeah, you know, when it comes to some of these more more divisive cultural ideas like pro-life, race, a lot of it for me is their cultural their theological non-issues that I believe I have the capacity to speak into because of my theological presuppositions, mm-hmm. and my exegetical understanding of things, in terms of, you know, faith, which relegates the way I live and believe and relate with people, which is for a Christian, that worldview should be the filter by which we gauge people in the world and ideas. So,
I know it's pretty cool when I make a TikTok. A lot of people who like to run their politics off of their religion as well. Mm-hmm. They'll drop certain scripture, you know, in my comments and stuff. And it's just yeah. like, well, you know, I'll look it up and it's like, wow, you know, I'm not very educated in the Bible. I haven't read mm-hmm. the whole thing, you know,
yeah.
I have read pieces of it here and there for many, many years, but right. I'm not, if I were to have arguments on religion, I would suck. Mm-hmm. Let's just say that. But I do like it that there are people who follow me that are well-versed in that, and they're able to pop out scripture and certain topics and stuff like
yeah.
that, because then I do get to learn. Because, you know, to me, when it comes to abortion, you know, I know there's verses where it says that breath of from God is your first, you know, bit of life. You know, he's breathing life into you.
So right.
a lot of people
well,
take that as when you're born,
yeah.
you know.
Well, I they don't go far enough. For me, when it comes to being pro-life, it's the understanding that every single person on planet Earth is something called an image bearer of God. So, in the Genesis account, for instance, when it says, "Let us make man in our image, in the image of God, He created them male and female," that's essentially saying that because you have the framework, because your personhood is a direct reflector of who God is, there is an intrinsic value to human life. So, when it comes to the human baby, once it's conceived, already has that image-bearing capacity inside of
okay.
it. And therefore that idea in and of itself from the Christian worldview specifically states that no, that's why we are pro-life, because this baby already has intrinsic value because it's been made in the image of God. Therefore that value is the reason why we want to defend its capacity to life.
Okay. My non-religious equivalent to that argument is that all of our lives in general, our ability to live, the value of that is equal among all of us, that nobody has a higher value to live than another. Your actual market value, you know, what you're worth and what you're able to do and so on, that's irrelevant.
Right.
Your ability to live, nobody holds more value than another.
Sure.
And, you know, no matter what you say that value is at, whether you hold that at a high value or you say, you know, no lives matter. A lot of people like to say that, or, you know, yeah. there's no value to your life. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter. It's still equal to everybody else's.
Right.
So if somebody else's life doesn't matter, then your life doesn't matter. So you can't say that you can kill them, but they can't kill you then. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. But then again, I would have to press you further and say, but where does that philosophical non-religious idea come from? You know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not well-versed enough in religion to be able to say I argue it from that, you know.
Yeah, totally. I get it. It's just that's the framework of where I perceive things, and that's the philosophical filtration system that I filter everything through.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, so when it comes to the issue of race, from a Christian worldview, there's really no such thing as race.
No.
And so you know, from a Christian biblical perspective, if I can just come at you from that perspective,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Apostle Paul says there's neither Jew nor Greek, you know, barbarian or Scythian, slave or rich or poor, male or female, we're all one in this Christian faith system. And so that whole, the separation of everything is dissolved because we're in this thing called the family of God, if you're a Christian, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so my whole bent is hitting at the woke church. My whole bent is hitting at, you know, woke culture. My whole bent is hitting at American liberalism in general,
mm-hmm.
because it's so antithetical to the fundamental elements of what it is that I believe as a Christian, as an American, as you know, a conservative.
Shit, man, they're antithetical to themselves. I mean, they have opposing beliefs themselves. They'll believe one thing and believe the complete opposite and not even realize it, you know.
Which is totally yeah. hypocrisy.
It is, yeah. It's funny as hell.
And that makes it so funny for me because I'm looking at people, you know, I'm looking at these leftists literally just digging themselves into a philosophical grave. And I'm sitting there like laughing my head off because mm-hmm. it's just like, you have no idea what it is that you just said. And you're saying it outright. And yet the hypocrisy of what it is that you're saying is so lost on you that this is just a dumpster fire started by a, you know, a flaming diaper that I'm just enjoying right now.
You know, the scariest part about it is that they'll get hundreds and thousands of likes to that shit.
Which is the irony that, yeah. that's how many people are so...
It's scary, is what it is.
They're just ignorant, man.
Yeah, they are. You know, that's the problem is the world is full of ignorance and, you know, we need better leaders for them. Absolutely. And it's always whoever's the loudest is the one that's going to get most of their attention. You know, whoever can play with their emotions the most. And the problem with being rational is being rational doesn't play with people's emotions. So you're not going to capture people as much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to be able to manipulate them. And whoever can manipulate people the best, they're going to have the most followers.
And it's funny that you mentioned that volume seemed to be the litmus test for the authoritative source of reason. You know, it's like if I yell the loudest, that means I'm more right than you are. And it's like, wait, hang on a second. No, that's not that way it works.
No. Oh, and they do that all the time, you know, especially on TikTok. Oh
my gosh.
You've been ratioed, which to those that don't listen or are on TikTok, that means that you have more comments than you do likes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is supposed to mean that you're wrong.
Right, yeah.
Well, you know, common sense, unfortunately, isn't very common, nor is it a democracy.
Yeah, so. Exactly. But that's the reason why I appreciate all of your videos, bro, is because you have the capacity to be able to not only just take somebody's 5-second stitch, but you also have the capacity to be able to break down their entire 5-second stitch plus their video with such there's this I don't know, man, like you've got this flow in the way that you deconstruct their ideas, literally ripping it to shreds. And you're only just one perspective, but you do it so beautifully. It's such an amazing thing. I am always like thoroughly just impressed and shaking my head after every single video I see of yours, bro.
Wow, thank you. Yeah, yeah. I honestly, like when I watch my videos, I don't think I do very good. You know, like, oh man, I could have said this. You know, or I'll read your comments. I'm like, shit, I could have added that.
Right. Well, I mean, that's all hindsight 2020. Yeah. But in the moment, it's like one of those things where I was just like, you know what? That's a good idea that Scott said. Wow, I didn't really pick up on that the way Scott said. No, I appreciate that perspective that Scott put. No, I'm going to use that next time. Kind of thing. So, no, man, I dig your entire content, bro. It is just.
Well, I appreciate it.
It's for me, it's that sidearm that I would always kind of sort of put in my back pocket.
I feel like I only draw a certain type of people though. Like you're a very intellectual person. And I seem mm-hmm. to draw certain people like that. A lot of people that I can't appease their emotions. They just kind of skip past me, you know, cause I'm very bland. Mm-hmm. And, I didn't originally want to be like that. I wanted to be, you know, one of those people that was very, you know, loud and emotional and
right.
I'm not that kind of person. So it was very difficult for me to try to be somebody I wasn't. And
exactly.
So I just ended up being what I am.
No, totally. I get it.
Yeah. I know I won't draw a large following as quickly as a lot of the people who do that to be able to get my views out there, but
right.
it's grow slowly if I don't keep getting banned like you.
Oh gosh.
Oh yeah. It's ridiculous. I'm sure I'm going to get banned soon. I hit 45,000 on my first one and I'm almost at 45,000. I'm going to laugh my ass off if I get dropped at 45,000 again. That's my unlucky number, man.
Oh yeah. No, right.
So what were your parents as far as political beliefs? I mean, did you grow up with a very kind of religious upbringing, or is that something you kind of did on your own?
Honestly, the development of my belief system in regards to my faith has been a self-reflective journey. My parents, so if you're growing up in an immigrant family, especially from an Asian context, you're always, your God is your homework and your studies and your GPA, right? Mm-hmm. That's it. So when I was capable of rationalizing certain ideas for myself, religion wasn't a pressing thing, more so than the understanding of, hey, you need to do your homework. Hey, you need to become a doctor. Hey, you need to become a lawyer. You need to have a better future for yourself. And that's kind of sort of the idol of most immigrant Asian families who come to America, which isn't a bad thing, you know, but that just, so religion was never really something that was pressed in most Asian immigrant families. It's always, you know, homework and studies. And if you have religion, that's great, good hobby, but remember to focus on the primary. And religion is more like a secondary, tertiary thing.
Were your parents Christian?
Yes and no. They were doing it because it's the American thing to do. You know?
Okay.
You know, and so I mean, that would tend to gradually, you know, become something that they own by themselves, and making it less of an American thing and more of an actual
belief.
Belief, for themselves. But no, we would normally do, when I was younger, we would normally do the whole church thing because, you know, Americans did it, so let's do it ourselves, kind of thing.
Now, were you born here, or did you come here?
No, I was born in America, so I'm.
Oh, you were, okay.
Yeah, so a lot of the, you know, a lot of my upbringing was also this identity conflict. You know, am I Korean? Am I American? What does being American mean? What does being Korean mean?
Yeah, that's kind of something I want to talk to you about later on after this. You know, I've had a few Black people on here, and I haven't had to have that discussion. You're the first Asian person I've had on here, so.
Awesome. Let's run the whole gamut, bro.
Yeah. So I know my son is Asian, and I know I had to go through his identity issues when people would give him crap for, you know, different features that he had and stuff like that, you know, kind of like the racism stuff that you typically get bullied for as a kid. And, you know, in the way I always say, everybody gets made fun of for something. You get made fun of because you're too white, you have freckles, you have red hair, you know, everybody gets made fun of for something. Right. It's not necessarily about race as much as you looking different than everybody else. You know, everybody has to pick on you. Everybody has low self-esteem. You know, that's why all the kids do this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I had to deal with that with my son growing up, and he grew up with an Asian mom and a white dad. So he kind of, you know, he always viewed himself as white, you know, he was really close to me, I think, more than he was his mom. And so when people would tell him, oh, you're Asian, he'd be like, no, I'm not, I'm white, you know, and he'd kind of explain that, like, no, buddy, you're Asian.
Yeah.
But, you know, what kind of experience did you have growing up? Like what conflict did you have?
Well, you know, it was interesting because when growing up, I would always have that racial conflict, you know, am I American, but what does being American mean, you know, versus being Korean? Well, what does that mean? Because I grew up in a 100% Korean household. Like, my mom and dad are Korean, my sister's Korean, I'm Korean. But we had these weird sort of, we had even sort of these weird cultural clashes, considering the fact that my parents' English was not very good, you know?
Okay.
When you think fresh off the boat, you got to think, you know, my parents, you know, growing up. I mean, broken English completely. Yeah. So a lot of my sister and I's upbringings was kind of sort of had to be self-motivated, self-taught, because we didn't have help from our parents when it comes to, you know, what does my social studies book say, mom? She's like, I don't know. I don't read English. You do, you know? I'm like, okay, well, I got to figure this out by myself. But then, you know, my American friends would have a completely different cultural, you know, expression of things, you know, from their parents. You know, like, you've heard the joke before of, you know, how white kids would tell their mom to shut up.
Yeah.
You know? But you do that to an Asian mom, oh, she will murder you and then make a new one of you, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, I know many of the different Asian cultures are very disciplinary, very hierarchical, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Especially in the Korean, you know, I mean, you guys even have specific ways of language for talking to somebody who is a little bit more, you know, respected.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so in English, we don't do that crap, you know.
Right.
My girlfriend was just telling me her daughter was calling her bro And she's like, no, you're not going to call me bro. Like, what the hell? You know?
Oh, if I did that with my dad, he would have knocked the pants off me, bro. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Like in terms of like, let's say if you were my elder, you know, in mm-hmm. terms of age, even that's how far it goes when it comes to Korean, you know, honor system culture.
Mm-hmm.
There's a level of respect when it comes to people who are your seniors.
Yeah.
You know? And so even my rhetoric would reflect an honor type system because I'm addressing you differently than I would my peers, kind of a thing. And
maybe sunbenim? No, sun. Damn it. Is it sunbenim? Older brother? Is it?
No, that's more a senior like fellow.
Okay.
But if you were if we had a familial type relationship, you and I, and you were older, I would call you Hyung.
Okay.
You would call me Dongsang, but I would also, you know, say things respectfully to you, even mm-hmm. if it is, you know, in gist, it would be respectful. You would know that I'm respecting you because of my rhetoric.
Yeah.
If I were to talk to you in Korean. But when one of my friends literally said, "Mom, shut it," my eyes went wide open. I'm like, you just said that to your mom. Like, and nothing came about it. I'm like, is that the American way to do things? Like, can I do that to my mom? If I do that to my mom, I'm going to get murdered.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that kind of conflict growing up. And so a lot of my upbringing was in this weird identity limbo. And I didn't know what to do with myself. I didn't know how to cope with that. So a lot of it was just a lot of teenage angst. And then ultimately what entered into the fray was just exploring different worldviews, you know, different religions to see what mm-hmm. worked for me. And
I did the same thing, yeah.
Yeah. And then ultimately, you know, what made sense to me was the tenets of the Christian faith. If you break it on down. So that's how I've been able to find that center, I guess you could say, mm-hmm. if you want to use cultural colloquialism, that was my center. And then from that center, a lot of my political and cultural worldview was able to filter through that.
You know, I hate it when people talk about the Christian religion and they try to bring up things like, oh, there's slavery in the Bible. You know, they take the yeah. whole book and they try to break down all the negative, but it's like, talk about the belief of what right. God is trying to tell you, how he yeah. wants you to act. And then try and tell me that's bad. Right. What's bad about that? You know, obviously yeah. there isn't anything. And it's almost the same with the Constitution. You know, I consider myself mm-hmm. a constitutional conservative.
Right.
The Constitution is trying to be good. Tell me what's bad about the Constitution. Not,
yeah.
You know, when it was written, obviously, there was different cultures and worldviews and, you know, there was mm-hmm. slaves and that was normal. But
right
now, I mean, tell me what's bad about it. What you want to change so bad, you know, right. and if anything is people wanting to like take their own rights away and shit like that.
It's yeah,
like,
absolutely.
It puzzles me. But yeah, people always take the worst of things, you know, Christianity. They'll take the Bible and they'll pick every little thing. Well, there was slaves here. And this person said this in here. And it's just like, yeah, but the belief, tell me what's bad about the belief, how he wants you to act. What's bad about it?
I mean, if you want to go take it that far, man, you got to also, you know, treat every single faith system with that much scrutiny. So what about Islam? Oh, my gosh. No, we're not going to go there because that's racist. You know, So it's stuff like that I'm seeing to be just this weird conundrum. And that's where my whole TikTok name comes into play. It's like I'm this cultural conundrum that people just can't figure out. I want to racially abuse you, but I can't. And I want to philosophically abuse you, but for some reason, you're not lining up with what it is that I want to line up with. And I want to be that guy that causes that tension, you know?
Oh, you definitely cause tension.
then not for my
I love
job.
It when you do. Yeah, those are my favorite videos. I'm like, oh shit. Uh-huh, And of course, instead of replying back to you with anything remarkably good, it's just block, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like you're collecting trophies, block trophies.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. I know. It's kind of sort of a habit of mine.
Yeah, it's I do wish that the platform was more open to allow you to say what you actually mean and what you want to say without having to worry about getting banned.
Right.
God, things would be so much different.
Oh, absolutely it would.
Yeah, man.
So and for me, but for me that's kind of sort of the fun I get out of it. It's I'm my account is down. Well, let's make a new one and see if I can build it back up again. So I look at that as more of a pet project.
It's like Prestigian in Call of Duty.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to call out for that from now on. Every time I get banned, I'm going to be like, I prestiged.
Yeah.
You're level 4 prestige. I'm catching up.
No, bro. It's a talent.
What's that?
It's a talent.
Yeah. So what happened with you and Victoria?
So, well, the beef that I had with Victoria was on my 3.0 account, which was recently banned.
Now, and, your 1.0, was that your first one?
Yes, that's my very first
one. You still have
one.
That one?
I do.
Okay.
And then I had to make another one, which the first one got banned that I appealed, but I made a second one to back that up. That second one got banned. And then I made a third one. I won my appeal for the third one, or for the first one. And I was existing between the first and third. Well, my third account got banned, and I resurrected my first one again. And then I had to make a fourth one just to be able to have a backup for the first one in case the first one gets banned.
Okay.
So it was this weird sort of back and forth that TikTok can't make up its mind on.
They haven't banned any of her devices, though, huh?
Not yet, which I'm surprised.
I'm so sick of filming on an iPhone 5.
Man, knock on wood. I'm waiting for that to happen.
How did that happen to me? Like, I didn't even have a chance to appeal. They didn't give me a chance. They just, boom, you've been permanently banned. Your device is banned. You can't appeal. This is like, what?
Yeah,
I've had 4 videos not pass appeal, and this I'm permanently banned.
Yeah, I know.
They're a bunch of haters.
They are. They don't like dissenting opinions. Apparently.
Yeah, Prager, you just got banned.
I heard. So yeah, to your, what was your question?
Victoria Hammond.
Oh yeah. So the beef that I had with Victoria, it specifically regarded the Atlanta shooting. You know, she made a statement where she said that the shooter, Robert Long, said in Korean, "I'm going to kill Asians." But her source that she used was from a pro-Korean nationalist publication that always will have a bent towards Koreans. And anything that's negative, they'll spin it to not necessarily line up with the facts, just demonize whoever's coming against Koreans, you know? So she sourced a Twitter source for it, mind you. So it wasn't necessarily an actual source itself. Now, we got that all wrong, because when I read the source itself, it says that the report alleges that Robert Long says, "I'm going to kill Asians," not "Asians are going to die" in Korean. Robert Long didn't say it. The source in Korean said, "I'm going to kill Asians," is what they accused Robert Long of. So Victoria even got her own diatribe wrong. And I was like, I want evidence that he said this. And she pulls that source. I'm like, the source is incorrect and you're incorrect. And so I gave her a 48-hour ultimatum, provide the source in video that he said this. There's gotta be video footage of all this happening, right? Hmm. And so she didn't produce it, and I gave her complete and total, you know, I backed off, put that third account on private to let her come up with her deal. 48 hours was up. I reactivated my account to public, and she didn't come up with a source. She blocks me in the process, and I hear people double down and say no. She's now saying that those locations that Long shot up weren't even engaged in sex work. And so I was like, I'm on a blocking crusade now for you. I'm going to report your butt until you get permabanned. And that's when she blocked me. And then my third account, you know, dies because of TikTok.
Yeah, that's a little ironic and unfortunate. Yeah. I was talking to Cam Higby about that, and he said that it's really difficult for big TikTokers like her to get banned, you know, because they have people that they talk to.
Right.
You know, they have people on call like, hey, you know, I just got banned. Bring me back up.
Okay. Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah, it sucks. I mean, Cam himself, I mean, he has 1.5 million as well. So, I mean, he has people that he talks to as well. And, you know, it's like, damn, where did I get these contacts?
I know, right? Yeah, totally.
What do I have to hit? I'm at 40. Come on.
Yeah, but that was the beef. It was just her completely deceiving all 700K of her followers with this whole shooting that she follows the script of you know, the left-wing media of it was a racially motivated thing. And everyone, you know, in the report said that Robert Long was messed up in the head. You know, but then for her to double down and call the Colorado shooter, you know, mentally deranged. It's like, wait, hold on a second. You got to pick a struggle here, Vicky. And, you know, she's playing two parts of the same philosophical, you know, stupidity. Mm-hmm. And her fans and following are buying it, you know, tooth and nail. And it's just like, You're deceiving your 16 and 17 year olds. They're coming up deranged because you are deranged, Vicky.
Yeah, it is. I hate the whole everything is racist narrative. Mm-hmm. You know, that shit just drives me nuts. I had somebody bring that up to me, and the first defense that they had is they tried talking about, well, everybody's racist. Everybody thinks this way. You know, we all have these biases. Well, then isn't every murder a hate crime? If that's the way you're going to think about it, then every time a black person shoots a white person, that's all. It'd be the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, oh, no. See, yeah, no, it doesn't work like that.
Right. Which also kind of sort of throws me for a loop. And this is where that whole white adjacent thing comes into play. So good segue to that, by the way. So when it comes to the whole, you know, Asian hate crime thing, that only popped up when a white guy did something stupid. Do you see that?
Yep.
Like for years and for decades, black on Asian violence, I read in a 2018 Department of Justice study, said that black on Asian violence, specifically coming from black men, is 280 times to one, meaning black men attack Asians 280 times more than Asians attack black people. And that's in the 2018 Justice Department.
So it's fairly recent.
Oh yeah, and the reason why that data is so important is because now you know that the whole narrative that they're running with about, you know, Trump saying it came from China, the virus came from China.
Yeah.
So the narrative is, you know, because black people are now listening to white supremacist rhetoric, they're attacking Asians to receive because of white supremacy.
Yeah, because of white supremacy.
Right. So you mean to tell me that these BLM type guys are listening to white supremacy because, I mean, these BLM type folks, they don't like Trump. They don't like conservatives, but they're listening to Trump's white supremacist rhetoric and they're attacking Asians because Trump is the one that said it came from China.
I mean, they are definitely following the KKK doctrine. I mean, they're pulling the exact same BS that the KKK pulled.
You know, oh, right.
Segregate ourselves. You know, they're following right down to the T, but it's not white supremacy. It's their own.
Like, you've got to be a dumb, stupid animal to literally think, and I'm using that term, you know, vehemently. You've got to be a dumb, stupid animal to literally think that, oh, Trump said, you know, it came from China, so it's open season on all Asians. Like, what?
Yeah, no.
But
no, the media just does such a good job at trying to make it seem like that. That's what pisses me off.
Oh, no, absolutely. But at the same time, I look at that. I mean, at some point, you got to take personal responsibility. You know, the media will only push you so far. It's either you believe the media or not, but that's you making the decision. And if you're that stupid and you're that, you know, for lack of a better word, retarded to believe the media and to attack Asians because Trump said it came from China and you attack all Asians, you're the moron.
Yeah.
So the fact that, you know, the news has been silent on black on Asian violence, but then all of a sudden a white guy does something and it's, oh, hashtag stop Asian hate. It's like, please, you know?
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Yeah. That's one thing I don't do in my TikTok videos is I never bring up like black on black crime, white on black crime, blah, blah, blah. You know, I never bring that stuff just because I think that it's counterproductive. You know, it'll automatically shut people's minds off on a topic and, you know, you can't really judge everybody collectively. And that's kind of a collective way of thinking. And the thing is, it brings up a good point. When somebody's trying to claim, pardon me, when somebody tries to claim that their race is being a victim of something, like, you're like, well, your race is actually the cause of more things than anything, you know? So, I mean, it's a good rebuttal. It's a good tactic in that way. But I typically just don't, you know,
I mean, which is fine. That's why I don't necessarily make TikToks to rebut. I make my TikToks in order to inflame, you know, those who are inflammable, for lack of a better word. Like, I already have one. I'm post banned on my first account right now, so I can't really do anything. But I have one lined up in response to a comment that literally says something to the extent of, "Well, Asians shouldn't be moving into black neighborhoods to set up shop." And I got this perfect little video lined up in response to it. So I'm not gonna care because the people who do comment, and so here's the beautiful thing about TikTok. If you're a conservative content creator, the beautiful thing about TikTok is that you are not afforded anybody else's attention. You know what I mean? Like, Scott, you don't owe anybody your responses.
Yep.
They're coming at your comment section and they're blowing up your algorithm. So my philosophy when it comes to these TikTokers, use them. They're your personal Tamagotchi.
I did that on my first account. I think that's why I got banned.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I mean, I was letting them, I was riling them up, let them come in, and they would tag all their buddies and be like, hell yeah, you know. And I was making bank on the funds, but This time I didn't even sign up for it. I'm like, screw that. Yeah. Maybe that's why I got banned so quick.
Yeah, but, maybe.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with that the first time. This time I'm a little more cautious. It's unfortunate that they kind of scared me a little bit to be more cautious because I was having so much fun on my first account.
Really? You got scared?
It's not so much I got scared. It's just irritated. You know, I got to do this all over again. You know, it's...
Yeah.
And it feels like it takes forever to grow. I don't know what it is. I'm watching all of my TikTok friends grow so quickly, rapidly. I mean, mm-hmm. every time I see them, they have 10,000 new followers. And I mean, it's just like, well, what the hell? You know?
I know.
So,
but for me, I look at that as more of a passion project at that point. Be like, okay, let's see what I can do to piss people off. And let's see who agrees and who disagrees. And then use them to boost my views and boost the following. So,
yeah, I'm trying to build up my Instagram. So basically, I'm just using TikTok to make videos to post on my Instagram. So when they switch to the 3-minute videos, I'm going to be super happy.
Oh,
yeah, I cannot wait until I get that feature.
Cool.
So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to, instead of the way I typically do things, is it's really difficult to cram something in 60 seconds and try to get your point across. So usually you get like a 10 second stitch of something or even less than that. And then people initially don't even know what their whole story is and what you're refuting in the first place.
Right.
So to be able to have this 3 minutes, I can actually cut pieces of theirs and post them in like I've been doing on some of my more recent videos. And then that way people can actually see what the argument is for and it'll make more mm-hmm. sense.
I know. That sounds great.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. So if there was anybody on TikTok right now that you could just have a debate, who would it be and what would be the topic?
So I, a guy named Kim. That's Young Qim. He's like this.
I've not heard of him.
Yeah, he's. I don't know how big he is. I mean, he was featured on during the whole Atlanta shooting. He was featured as one of the top Asian TikTokers.
Okay.
But you know what that means? He's a boba liberal.
Yeah.
So obviously, and
did you just say boba liberal?
Yes, sir.
That's fucking awesome.
And listen, if the shoe fits, man. And
yeah, that's awesome.
I mean, hey, listen, if you want to call me a boba conservative, that's fine. I'll own that, man.
That's fucking awesome.
So, but yeah, he's one of those Asian liberals that are big, that's big on TikTok. And I kind of sort of had my eyes set on him because he busts the nut over the whole Hart Celler Act kind of a thing that he misrepresents. And so I, you know, he came after this one kid a while back. And I kind of sort of reviewed the guy's content, and he would come after big Asian creators, in fact, you know? And so I kind of sort of had my sights on him. And if he were to debate me, I don't know what the topic would be, honestly.
You just want to tear him apart, huh?
I kind of sort of do because he's a younger kid. And so I'm going to use that Korean elder privilege on him and be like, listen, all right, number one, I'm your elder. So you better shut your mouth. But then, you know, rip apart his arguments, see what he comes back with. So
is he a young kid?
Yeah, he's college.
Okay. Damn, they always seem the ones that are so lost.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. I mean, that's Victoria Hammett, same thing, you know, young college.
Yeah.
I know the one that I've been trying to debate the most would be Consciously. I've been trying to debate him for like 4 months and he just ignores me. Well, he kind of ignores me.
But then he makes content behind your back.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, I know.
So
the funny thing too is that I left a comment I think on you know Kun Kano's one of Kun Kano's videos regarding Anthony and Anthony blocked me on my third account.
Really?
Yeah, man. I was surprised. I was gonna make a video response. I'm like, bro, you have 1 million followers. I have a measly, you know, 17,000. What are you blocking me for? Are you that scared of me?
Which one's Anthony? Is that iSpeak?
Yeah, that's iSpeak.
Okay. See, I don't know too much about him. I don't see him ever being stitched in anybody's videos. I have just recently heard of him. I know people were tagging me in his comment section saying, debate hypocrites. And I'm like, I don't even know who this guy is.
Oh, he's a race baiter.
Okay.
He's George, who's Consciously, and Troy, the Skittles beard, you know, Savage. No,
Teen
Savage. Yeah, him.
Yep.
They're considered the fold, quote unquote.
I didn't know that Consciously and iSpeak were part of the fold. I thought it was just Teen Ethan.
No, they're the three-headed hydra of
the fold. Okay. I gotcha. I know Consciously in his debate with Cam recently on the, I'm trying to think of the case. It was the most recent one where the girl had the knife.
Oh yeah, Mekhi Bryant.
Mekhi, thank you. Yeah, when he was debating Cam on that case, Lee kept using the example, if me, I speak, and T. Nathan came to your house, and I kept thinking to myself, like, why would he must be friends with those two. Like, when he said T. Nathan right away, I was like, is he part of the fold?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it makes sense why they're so deluded in their ideology now, you know. The funny thing is, I think T. Nathan's the leader, but he's probably the worst one when it comes to trying to explain things.
I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me to follow that guy because, one, all three of them are insufferable.
Yeah.
You know, but then two, when it comes to T. Nathan, like he even jumped on the whole Asian hate crime thing. I'm like, bro. Really? Oh, yeah. He's like, this was a hate crime. It's like, dude, stop. You being a non-Asian have no business speaking on this thing. And I'm going to use that. on you. They're all three part of the fold. But like iSpeak blocked me on my third account for some strange reason.
He seems to, there seems to be this, I don't want to say because I don't know him, but I'm sure he's heard of me in his comment sections many times. He keeps seeing me being tagged and stuff, and he'll reply to people and it won't be disrespectful towards me. So I kind of respect him back, you know, until he disrespects me, I'll keep respecting him. But I can tell, like, he tries to avoid me. You know, he just doesn't want any confrontation. He hasn't made any videos towards any of my videos. T. Nathan and Consciously both have. And I've replied to both of them many times. And iSpeak just hasn't. So I'm just like, you know, you keep your cool, I'll keep mine.
Which is respectable. But at the same time, it's like I'm waiting for him to call you goofy and then make a video that completely, totally circumvents anything that you say.
Well, then I'll go nuts on him. Well, then it'll be fun.
Bro, then I will pay for it with popcorn.
Yeah, I mean, if he does it, then you know, he's open. It's open game. You know, I kind of have that. You know, you respect me, I respect you back type of thing. It's kind of how I was raised. You know, I'm sure you can relate to that in your culture.
Absolutely. Yeah, totally.
So it's actually kind of funny because I didn't know you were Korean, and I was learning Korean. I was trying to learn Korean for quite a few years, and I love Korean TV and music and stuff like that. So I was like, oh shit, he's Korean. It's awesome.
Yep.
So my when we were talking about religion, the reason why I was asking is because my son's mom's family, my ex-wife, they were shaman. That was their religion. So, you know, they were trying to convert over to Christianity, and it's kind of the same situation as what you had. And so I was just kind of curious what it was like in a Korean sense more than a Hmong sense, because that's what they are.
Right.
So,
well, my family didn't necessarily indulge in the whole shamanism portion of Korean culture.
I didn't know they had shamanism in Korean culture.
That's the basis of how Koreans had their belief system. Oh yeah,
I did not know that.
It was a very shamanistic group of people, and then they amassed Buddhism and Confucianism and whatnot. Okay. And then you know, I guess Christianity took hold sometime in the 1800s or so. And it exploded there. So,
okay.
But when it comes to the actual religious expression, my parents weren't all that much of that. They were just, you know, hey, do your homework. Hey, get a good degree. Hey, make money.
So, yeah, my mom, she was too high to know or care. So I had a pretty rough childhood. Mm. But, you know, it's funny because I used to be left-leaning. I was liberal, and I was ignorant is what I was. You know?
Right.
And so I didn't know any better. Everything, the conservatism and religion all kind of came to me because I got in trouble. And I was lost, and I didn't know what the hell to do. And I just needed things to make sense. So that's kind of how I first got into learning, you know, reading the Bible and accepting Jesus. And then you know, as I started to process thoughts and stuff, I realized that conservatism made more sense to me. And so I was still pretty weak-minded when it came to it. You know, I was still kind of a sheep, and I would follow, you know, I went from left to right. So I was listening to what Fox News was saying and everything. And I was like following that to a T, and I sounded like an idiot. People were calling me out for it, and I realized I was an idiot. So I had to think for myself, and that's kind of where I am now. But
which is the best place to be, because that means that you and I, and I'm the same way, like you and I are now teachable, and we are able to critically figure things out and look at things from a perspective that, you know, is outside of the norm and outside of the whole, you know, what the masses tend to want to, you know, follow through with.
Yeah.
So, I'm kind of sort of in the same boat. Like, I always want to remain teachable and be able to, you know, be so so open to the point where I can look at things clearly from an objective standpoint and not necessarily look at things from a subjective emotionalist standpoint.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of a new thing to me. I'm actually going to have her on my podcast soon, but I took a class and the lady who took the class was a success mindset class. And it was basically how to take emotion out of all your decision-making. And that's how you become successful. And so I started doing that with my political views and stuff like that. And it's been a few years now, but you know, man, has that changed my life. So now when I talk on TikTok, I sound like a robot, you know, and like I have no emotion. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, who cares?
But therein lies the draw, I think, because you're so milquetoast in terms of your delivery, it doesn't, your facts and your data and the logical progression that you go through is clear, you know? And I think that's the draw, is there's clarity to what it is that you deliver with.
Some people I get that from, and some people are like, you made zero sense, you know? And I'm like, well, unfortunately for you, a lot of people it did make sense to, so that's on you then.
Exactly. You know? At that point, it's a personal problem.
Yeah, exactly.
And at that point, hypocrites just don't care.
Yeah. So, well, you know, I can't help you. Like, if a 10-year-old can understand this and you can, I'm sorry, buddy. Well,
yeah, I know, right? And you're 50 and you're making this stupid comment on my comment section. Please get out.
God, it is crazy how much dumber it seems like new generations are getting. And it's scary.
Oh, my gosh.
Somebody just tagged me in a video where somebody was going over the steps of how to progress. And it was a Black person saying the first step is we need to segregate ourselves away from people. And his example was, if you were a woman being raped, would you want to be forced to stay with your rapist? That was his example.
Okay. I'm
like, are you kidding me? Like, this is gonna be a fun video. But it's
this
is how they are trying to get people to believe them. You know, they're trying to use these shitty analogies that don't make any sense or don't relate in any way.
Yeah.
And people are soaking it in, like, oh, that makes sense because you're a dumbass.
That's so funny. Oh my gosh.
So you're gonna like you're probably gonna want to stitch them after I do. You're like, oh, I'm gonna have fun with this.
Oh, you know? Some of like what is it? The guy that wants to promote miscegenation? That guy?
Who said what's his name?
I forget his name, but you stitched him and you were the one that said, wait, isn't this you? And he talked about how, you know, Black children should not be, you know, mingling with white kids, and it's just like I had to go from your stitch to him and then stitch my own version of his stuff. So,
yeah.
But no, I mean, like that's why I appreciate a lot of your content, is because you make it digestible for, you know, for the 10-year-old to understand, but also there's a lot of depth to what it is that you say that affords the ability of, you know, a rational thinking person to be able to, you know, process and compute what it is that you're saying. So you've got that fantastic balance of delivery for the younger minds to be able to, you know, absorb, but also the older generations are able to, you know, process what they're saying, you know, with as much clarity as a 10-year-old. So that's a good skill.
Do you get anybody messaging you and commenting, saying that you've kind of opened their mind to certain things, or that, you know, that they've never viewed something a certain way until you've talked about certain things?
Not yet.
No, I've had it's kind of a fuel, you know. That's kind of what made me want to continue after my first account got banned, because I was getting kids that would message me on Instagram and say, I have a question, you know, my professor said this, what do you think? And it's like, really, you value my opinion to talk about this? Okay, you know, and it is pretty cool. And I'll even get adults that are like, you know, I really view things a different way, and after hearing the way that you talk, you've totally changed my mind, and now I'm looking at things differently, and I'm like, holy shit, like, what?
Those, I think, are the best. Those are the best nuggets that help fuel people. For me, I don't necessarily care about that kind of external validation. If I get it, great. If I don't, it's no skin off my back.
Yeah, I mean, it's just unexpected. You know?
Yeah, no, I agree. I believe it. I just haven't gotten that yet. I think for me, my role on TikTok is nothing more than a troll.
But you're so good at it.
well, see, the thing is, I'll own that. You know, I'm not. I don't want to – my role – have you heard of Man of Justice 007?
Yes.
He said this, that in the conservative movement, in this whole thing that we're trying to do to, you know, make America what it should be, you know, not race, but the ideology that's found within the Constitution,
Yeah.
Which is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for all people that are in America. Conservatives need to understand what their role is. Some are chiefs, some are followers, and some are brute force tanks. Others are assassins. Others, you know, are you know, snipers, you know?
Who comes to mind when you say assassin?
You know.
Static.
Oh, absolutely. But I would call you the conservative sniper, because you're picking off these guys with these, you know, ultra accurate, you know, points and logic and reasoning. And for me, I'm that tank that just wants to plow through everything and just
take a beating.
Yeah. But then you got, you know, Static, who comes, you know, alongside the tank and just slits the throat of some of these dissenters. And then you're at a distance, you know, picking people off with your, you know, aim and all that stuff. And so if we understand our roles, especially when it comes to TikTok, that not all of us are chiefs, you know, I think that's what helps spread the message forward. Because then somebody will come and look at you. Somebody will come and look at my video and say, oh, my gosh, that was so not cool, like the way he said it. But then Static comes along. And he's like, this is what it means. And then you come back and you reinforce Static's point with your aim and your, you know, accuracy. And then all of a sudden, that's how minds change.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I never even thought of that before.
So I mean, that's the way I've been able to garner it. So that's why I'm so good at it, because I know my role. I know my lane.
It's funny because even though you say you're like that, you bring up a lot of points that I'm like, shit, like that's a good point. Yeah, I'm going to use that, you know? And like the first video that you made that I just absolutely fell in love with, I think I duetted it. It was the one that you were talking about. Well, why did, if white people, you know, are obviously the dominating supreme race, then why are they letting all these other people do better than them?
Yeah.
You know, and just the way you presented that video was absolute perfection. So
I know what you're talking about. It's what's her face? The fairy intention chick.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but that is the overall question. But see, that's me firing my M5 Abrams tank gun, you know, into the fray.
Oh, it definitely pissed some people off.
Oh, absolutely did.
How many stitches did you get to that video?
I don't know how many stitches I got.
Honestly. I mean, like, against you, like, how many people actually, like, came back and tried to refute you? Because that just seemed like a video where it was going to just piss off some people. It was going to hurt some pride.
I lost count. I did have I Am Harley Davidson make a comment on it, though. Okay. So that's when I knew I kind of sort of arrived, is when, you know, I Am Harley Davidson, one of the most notorious, you know, race baiting, virtue signaling white liberals on the platform, literally commented something about slaves and whatnot. I'm like, typical white liberal talking about slaves. Right? So, but I don't really necessarily read the hate comments so much, because it's just like, you're working for me, man. So keep coming. So
that's a good way to think of it too. You know, you ever hear Joe Rogan when he does his podcasts and stuff, or when he does his videos, he said he never reads his comments. I mean, he just hires people to filter through his comments, you know, and he'll get the good ones. But he said it is so toxic to just sit there and let people manipulate your own mind, you know, your message, and you're letting people dictate that by reading their comments and letting it hurt you emotionally.
Right.
You know, so I mean, that's pretty genius. I unfortunately go through my comments because I try to find people who say, you know, I try to learn. So if I go through my comments, I see a lot of times, like even you, I see a lot of comments you make and you make points. I'm like, shit, you know, that's a good point. You know, so I do it to improve myself. But
yeah,
I do read the comments that are just ignorant, and I sometimes fall for it and I comment back, and I try because I try to I like to explain things. I want people to understand, and I just have to understand that people aren't going to understand me.
No, true. But see, my whole goal, so when I do comment, is I want to be able to reinforce your points. So my comment, any video that I comment on yours, or any comment that I make on your videos, it's me reinforcing your point. I want to help you push your message forward. And if it angers some people along the way, then again, I'm the tank and you're the sniper. So that's my goal.
Your comments are always appreciated.
Hey, man, because my whole thing is I don't necessarily care about my account just as long as I'm helping you. And that's what I want to be, is that support role when it comes to people that I appreciate and people that I follow. Is I want to support them, boost their content. And so when I comment, I know that I'm boosting your algorithm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And, you know, every time we get banned, we always try to help each other out and get each other back on foot. I know I had a video made to announce that your account was banned and to get your I think it was your fourth account up and going. But then all of a sudden your first one was up and I was like, oh, what the hell? You know, so I didn't post it. So,
I have a feeling that my first this account that I'm on is going to, you know, get shut down because I'm on a post ban right now. So,
yeah, that sucks.
They tend to get rid of your accounts once they put you on a post ban. So.
I was on one post ban with my first account. I've been on one of my second one. So it's always just, when the hell is it going to happen?
Right.
You know, I got like 10 other Apple devices ready to go when this shit happens.
There you go.
In case they ban my device again.
Yeah.
Fuckers.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I don't get it. I'm like, why am I the one that's getting my shit, my devices banned when nobody else is?
And I don't know, man. I honestly don't know.
Like, I don't think my shit's that bad.
No, I think it's bad because it's so rational and it's so to the point at times that TikTok's like, I don't know what to do with this. Let's ban them. Okay.
that's what I'm trying to think. That, you know, prop myself a little bit. Yeah, it's because you guys can't handle it. That's
what exactly. That's my justification as to why they would probably do it.
Yeah. Are you on any other platforms other than TikTok? Are you on, the hell's the other one?
I'm on Instagram.
You're on Insta?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I follow you on Insta. I just never see your videos pop up.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'm not active on Instagram, to be honest.
I wasn't the first time I had my TikTok account up. I rarely posted on my Instagram, but now that my account's down on there, I made it more of a point to post my videos on Instagram for my second account. That way I can build up my Instagram.
Yeah. I can see that too.
So, and I'm reaching a lot of people that don't have TikTok. So it's actually pretty cool. They're like, okay. Oh man, I love your content.
All right.
Awesome. Like, I'm glad that people that are not on TikTok are seeing it.
Yeah, I know. Right. And so I guess for me though, because TikTok has a lot more funner options like stitching and duetting and you know, all that stuff that Instagram doesn't, I think that's where my attention is towards when it comes to TikTok. So I'm more invested in TikTok right now.
I ever do is just stitches and comment replies and stuff like that. You know, it just makes it, it's easier.
It's just fun that way.
Yeah.
And for me, even if I am this conservative troll, I have fun doing it. I don't care about, you know, the trolls. In fact, I mean, have you heard of the guy named King Zabo?
No.
Okay. Well, he's another race baiting clown.
Okay.
But I have fun. Like, now all of a sudden I'm to the point where if I block somebody, it's me being the grown up and putting these kids in timeout. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, I'll let you out of timeout if you behave yourself. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's vying for my attention. Like, I made a video of you. Did you see it? Don't run now. I'm like, I'm not running. I'm putting you in timeout, son. You know? And so I have fun with that. Like, these guys block me. You're in timeout. That's why. I'm having fun with that now.
I've blocked more people with this account than I did my last one. I'm like, fuck it. You know, I just don't want them to take my account down. And I know that these people are toxic and they're going to report everything. I'm just like,
Most likely. Yeah. But at the same time, that's half the fun is you can't handle what we're saying. And that makes you weak.
Yeah. So. Oh, definitely. You know, I don't report their videos or I don't try to take them down. I just stitch them and prove them wrong. That's the fun part.
Yeah. That is the fun part. And the fact that they can't handle it, that makes that's the fuel for me. It's like, oh, you can't handle it? Well, here's another one. Can't handle that? Here's another one. Can't handle that? Here you go. Here's a barrage.
I do notice also, it's pretty awesome in the conservative community on TikTok that when one person stitches somebody, all of a sudden you'll see like 50 other people stitch the same dude. Like, they just bombard him.
Yeah.
It's like, oh damn! I started something dirty. You are welcome.
But that's the glorious part of it too, is that you're seeing the ripple effects of what you've done, and it's affecting people in these different ways.
So it is definitely a lot of fun. Every day I get home from work, I look forward to making new videos, and like it hits me throughout the day because I'm sitting here like, what do I want to make? What kind of video do I want to make?
Right?
You know, what do I want to say? And I make all my shit up on the spot. When I come home and I start a video, I don't have anything rehearsed. I just do it. And sometimes it takes me a little bit longer, which is why my videos are in parts, because that way I can make it more efficient. You know, I can get more of my point across. If I just try to ramble 1 minute long worth of shit, I'm going to miss a lot of stuff. So I try to keep it compact and simple.
But see, that's why I would consider you the assassins, because you're taking these calculated shots.
Yeah.
Like for me, I just shoot straight off the hip, and that's what makes me the trolling tank. You know, And so that's why the fact that I appreciate your videos is because I can work in tandem with you. As I barrel through, you pick off the rest.
Yeah, we got to find more people to pick on. That's what we got to do.
Yeah, I know.
You true. Just named off a bunch of people I've never heard of. I'm kind of like, oh shit, I'm gonna look up their shit now.
Yeah, do it, dude. Like, I think the reason why I'm, because I'm, I look at, I want to look at everything, you know.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. I don't necessarily have to engage in everything, but I do want to see it, and then from there, be like, okay, what's good about this? Oh, what's crappy about that? Oh, that sucks. No, I'm not gonna do that. You know, but. I mean, that's why I was able to find like Young Kim and some of these boba liberals on TikTok.
I love that boba. Man, I've been drinking boba for like 15 years.
Bro, I've been addicted to boba for like the last three.
Oh, it's so good.
It is awesome.
Yeah, that's when I started watching Korean TV shows was 15 years ago. And okay. So I started like drinking and, you know, kimchi and shit. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
So now it's like a thing. You know, everybody's like, oh, I'm going to get some boba. I'm like, fuck, man. I remember when like nobody knew what that was.
I know, right? Right.
It's funny. I dated this Asian girl in high school. Hopefully my girlfriend isn't listening to this. I dated this Asian girl in high school, and she used to bring me stuff from the Asian store all the time. She was mom. And the first time she brought me a drink, it had coconut in it, like actual chunks of coconut. And I talked to a lot of other, you know, white people, and the texture thing is weird to them.
Yeah.
So you drink something with chunks in it, and it's just nasty. You know, you think like vomit or something like that, and you can't do it. And that's kind of how I was when it first started happening. So I'm drinking this drink with like shit in it, and I'm like, what the hell is this? She's like, oh, it's coconut, you know, and I couldn't do it. And it took me a little bit, and then I would drink like soy, and it would have the tapioca balls in them and stuff. So I got used to it, and then, you know, I married an Asian woman, and that I drank that shit all the time.
And that's the beautiful thing about culture, and the fact that you continually say cultures are meant to be shared. That's what's supposed to be. And I know for me, when it comes to being a Korean American, I want to take the best of Korean culture and merge it with the ideals of the American value system.
Yeah,
and be that. And be that, you know, all around person.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That's the goal, isn't it?
You know, it's funny because you can pick so many amazing things from everybody's culture. Your culture, even though you probably grew up with a pretty strict childhood, if all of our culture had that same strict childhood, America would be completely different.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely. And honestly, like I mean, because here's the thing: what I've noticed about these boba liberals is that they're in a stage of rebellion. I think
that makes sense.
Yeah. Because they don't like the way the tiger moms raised them. And so they're on this philosophical hunt to try and be the antithesis of what their parents...
To take control?
Yeah.
Yep.
But then when you get older, I know for me, I didn't like it at first. But because I was such a mama's boy as the first child, I didn't know what to do with myself. But now, looking back in hindsight, I actually appreciate more and more the sacrifices my parents made in order for me to be able to live the life I currently live.
Yeah. Do you have kids?
I don't.
You don't? Okay. No. I mean, that makes a big difference too when you start to have kids of your own, and you know, you see things through that lens, and it really changes you in that aspect.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. And so don't get me wrong. I want kids so bad. I do. But like to be able to then instill these values that I've cemented within myself and pass that along. And that's kind of sort of the end goal, isn't it? You know, to be able to say, hey, you know, you're the next generation that should be able to do it and do it better than me. So do it better than me, kind of thing. And I want to be able to be the one that is the catalyst to start that off in my bloodline. So,
you know, I talk about this shit all the time and I'm like a broken record, but pride is a huge part of that. You know, my ex-wife's family, they're so proud of their heritage that they don't want to, not only do they not want to share it, but they don't want to welcome anybody into it,
right?
You know, and at the same time, they don't want to accept anybody else's. You know, they are strict in their culture, and that's how they want it to be. And they're the ones that are causing the biggest issues. They're the ones that are, and you know, it's the same thing right now with the whole black culture, quote unquote. You know,
right.
You know, we want to maintain this. This is ours. Nobody else can have it. And all they're doing is bringing themselves backwards. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole ideology, and they need to lose that damn pride.
Yeah.
And they will be much more accepting. They'll be less hateful, less racist. Mm-hmm. And it's just getting them to see it. And that is the very difficult part.
It is.
How do you do it? How do you keep popping the people that are preaching this to them? You know, is that going to help? Or do you have to take them on when they're at their most vulnerable? You know, when they're being hurt by somebody in that culture or whatever, and then you have to explain it to them. I mean, there's really no easy way to get these people to understand. And I almost should try and talk to other Black conservatives that have switched from being liberal and kind of be like, what changed it for you?
Right.
You know, like what was the best time to get you to switch? Because that's what we need to find out. That's what we need to do to get people to set them straight and realize that they're going to keep setting themselves back if they keep following these people.
Right. Yeah. No, I think it's, I don't know. It's hard because like emotions are so rampant when it comes to, you know, Hispanic and Black people. Yeah. That's part of the reason why I discovered that, that's why they're so, I guess, easily manipulated, because
yeah.
You know, certain political parties, they tend to want to capitalize on the emotionalism of these cultures and these, you know, groups.
Yep.
In order to, you know, manipulate them for votes and for power.
Yeah, that's how they do it. They empower them, you know,
right.
Through the whole voting thing, they empower that community and they say, you know, this is your worth. Don't let anybody else tell you otherwise, you know, be proud of that. And they're,
yeah.
All of a sudden they're hard to manipulate the other way. And they do
right.
The same thing for the Black community when they try to make them victims, you know.
Yeah.
And it's very, very difficult to fight against emotional pride. You know, it's just.
It is. And so, but at the same time, I think it, for us who wants to be able to see, you know, people individually be able to think for themselves, it's understanding that pride does come before a downfall.
Yeah.
You know, and a haughty spirit will be the one to open the door to destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I think it's going to come to a point where we need to allow them to destroy themselves. As hard of a truth as that is, you know, people who are driven by emotions and driven by their egos and pride, they're going to need to fall.
The issue with that is it's they fall at an individual level and they need to fall as a group, you know, because
yeah.
when one falls, the rest of them just get more reinforced and they get stronger in their beliefs and their emotions. You need the whole group to fall.
Yeah. I don't know how to do that.
I don't think there is a way to do that.
Unless you, yeah, I don't know. Honestly, dude, that's a good question to ask.
Yeah. I don't see a way of doing that. It's, you'd have to almost break the whole structure, the whole political system that's creating them to, or getting them to do that. And there's really no way to do that.
And, I mean, I think you can hit at the pillars of the community, be like, you guys are easily sheep. Look how easily you're manipulated by these, you know, white liberals and these Democrats. But, you know, yeah, you're right. I think the whole needs to kind of sort of crumble, but it's figuring out what the pillars are that's supporting that.
Yeah. Well, and the media is definitely one of them. That's probably one of the biggest pillars.
Most likely. It's just, yeah. Because it's such a big machine. I don't know what the main central gear for that to be, you know, to a target in order to bring that down.
Yeah. So. I mean, they get Hollywood and they get music involved. They get these artists that are just brain dead and they're just like, preach this, keep getting people to be stupid. And they're like,
and
okay.
Sports as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Oh my God. LeBron James, Jesus Christ.
He's got a fourth grade reading level, but he, you know, plays relatively decent basketball.
Yeah. He can dunk. That's all that matters.
Yeah. Right. And what's on that show, but he wants to bring a school that pays, you know, that taxpayers are, you know, going to be fronting, you know, 3/4 of the bill on.
Yeah.
But you know, whatever, it's LeBron James.
Yeah. I would call him a moron, but he's a millionaire or billionaire, whatever you want to call him. So it's kind of hard to call him a moron other than the fact that he just basically is used as a puppet. And that's why he has so much money.
Yeah, basically. And you know? that therein lies the double-edged sword though, isn't it? He's a moron.
They pay him to be a moron.
Exactly. And you want to follow that road. Some people are like, yeah, I do. Like, okay, well, you're dumb. No helping you. Go ahead.
I'll play a moron for $1 billion.
Yeah,
let's
exactly,
do this.
Right. Shoot.
Ugh. Yeah.
So.
All right, man. Well, I am past my order point on here.
Okay.
I will end this. We could probably do another episode another time. I'd love to get you back on here.
That would sound so good. I had so this was fun, honestly.
Yeah, it was.
This was fun.
Yeah,
but honestly, Scott, I absolutely appreciate and love all that you are doing. I don't look up to many TikTok creators, but I do look up to you in terms of your content, your delivery, your points,
wow, man,
the accuracy. Yeah, no, totally. Like I learn from you and you enrich Your videos enrich my thinking, and I, for that, I appreciate you.
Well, yours do the same for me, man. Don't let it go unnoticed.
Yeah, no, totally. I get so, it.
I really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, man. Totally.
Oh, you have a wonderful night, and I'm going to get you back on here another time.
That sounds awesome.
No, all right, wait. Man. All right. All right. We'll see you. Bye-bye.